Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today. This program is brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. As I do every week, I would like to remind you that if there is ever a copy of any of our programs that you desire, our CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we come back to continue our study in the book of Revelation. Lord, these messages are so timely because of where we are in our world today. So I pray, dear Father, that you would, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to learn. Might your anointing be upon me. Might our listeners be attentive whenever it's all over, might we praise you for what we learn from these verses today. So, Lord, take the message, bless it, we pray, use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 6, if you would. Revelation chapter 6 is where we are at. We are currently in a study of the book of Revelation. This is study number 36. We got a long way to go before we get through it. And right now we're in chapter 6, and we're dealing with the seal judgments. This is part 5. Now, we've been looking at the seal judgments found in Revelation 6, and these seal judgments correspond with what Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, 1-8. I want you to listen to those verses. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be," now listen to this, "famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." The idea there is all of these are basically like birth pains that a woman deals with whenever she is in labor. Now, Jesus foretold the destruction of the temple in order to show his disciples the accuracy of the prophecy that he was given to them. The statements that our Lord made, they run parallel with Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6 so far, we have looked at 3 of the 6 seal judgments. We looked at seal number 1, that's in verses 1 and 2. That deals with the coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one. We'll get more of him whenever we get to Revelation chapter 13. Then we looked at seal number 2. That's in Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. This is the removal of peace from the earth. Let me read those verses. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." So when this second seal is opened, there is war that breaks out on the face of the earth. And there's a reason for that, I believe. And that war that breaks out is God confusing the evil because Satan is attempting to counterfeit the covenant of peace, which God has promised, that God has promised to the nation of Israel. And so this war is unleashed and set forth in order to confuse the evil, because Satan is going to deceive many. Many are going to buy into his covenant that he's going to make with them. Not all, but the Bible says, in many, he shall sign a covenant with many in that day. Then we looked at the third seal, which was famine. Now watch verses 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This is what we looked at last week. Famine and war travel together. This famine will be so severe that it will take a man an entire day's wages to make enough money to buy enough food to sustain him for one day. The word penny here is a denarius, which was one day's wages. A measure of wheat is needed to sustain a man for one day, or three measures of barley. So if one man in a family of four has a job, he will not be able to buy enough food to sustain his entire family. People will rob and murder just to get food to survive. People of the inner cities no doubt will migrate into the rural areas in search of food. This will be far, this time right here that we're reading about with these seal judgments will be far worse than anything the world has ever seen. And the reason is because the restraints will be lifted from the demonic world after the rapture. When a rapture happens, the restraints will be lifted from the demonic world. The world will be populated, now listen to this, only by unsaved people for a while after the rapture, and many of them will be demon-possessed. Let me show you or read for you something which Jesus spoke of when he foretold how people will be caught off guard whenever he returns at the end of the Great Tribulation. In Matthew 24, 37 through 39, here's what Jesus said. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what he's doing, he's drawing a parallel between the tribulation period and the days of Noah. He goes on, he says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, so a lot of people are going to be caught off guard in that day of the tribulation. They are not going to be expecting the judgment that is going to come whenever Jesus Christ comes. They won't be expecting that. In the midst of everything that's going to be unfolding, they will not be expecting that return. And so they're going to be caught off guard. It says that those in Noah's day, although Noah warned them, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And he said, so shall it also be with the Son of Man whenever Jesus himself returns. So the days of Noah are going to be somewhat of a repeat in the tribulation period. So let me read for you Genesis 6, 1 through 5. Listen to these verses. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness. Now listen to this. The wickedness of man, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is a powerful statement. Let me tell you why. You take the most corrupt people in our world today, and once in a while they can have a good thought. That once in a while they can do something that is positive. But in Noah's day, we're told that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And that sounds like demon possession to me. The demons of Noah's day possessed the men in order to get to the women. And I believe the demon possession of Noah's day is a picture of what will happen in the tribulation. Therefore, the results of the famine are going to be devastating. Because like I said, when the rapture happens for a while until the two witnesses come that we will talk about later, for a while, there will not be any saved people on the earth whatsoever. They will all be unsaved people. And then you factor into that the point that the restraints are going to be lifted off the demonic world, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the restraints are going to be taken off the demonic world. So that combined with the lack of food and what's going to be going on, it will be a terrifying time. And this is just the beginning of it. It brings me to seal number 4. Watch chapter 6 of Revelation verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. This seal is also in the first half of the tribulation period. In Matthew 24:7-8, we read this: "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." The rider on this horse in the fourth seal is Death, and hell follows right behind him. When this seal is opened, power will be given to both death and hell over one-fourth part of the earth. There's a lot here to consider in the midst of that. First of all, this verse tells us that one-fourth of the world's population will die when the seal is opened up. Let me attempt to help you to grasp the devastation which will take place at this time. Our world population today is about 7.5 billion people. If one-fourth of the world died today, that means 1.8 billion people would die. To help you to understand how many people that is, let me show you something, or let me give you some facts. The population of the United States is 321 million. The population of China is 1.4 billion. The population of Japan is 127 million. If we add all these up, it would equal just about 1.8 billion. That's one-fourth of the world's population. So when this seal is opened and one-fourth of the world's population dies, it would be equal to all the people of the United States, to China, and Japan dying at the same time. Starting to see how devastating it would be. The question that comes into my mind is, how are they going to bury all these people? And I believe there'll be mass graves, and no doubt there'll be cremation. I believe some of them aren't even going to get buried, and that they will be left on the ground to decay. Now, let me get you back to the verse. I want to show you how they're going to die. Watch verse 8 again. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with," here it comes, "sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth." So you have four ways in which people are going to die under this seal, under this fourth seal. They will die by the sword, they will die by hunger, they will die by death, they will die by beasts. We're going to consider each of these in a moment. But first of all, let me give you something else to consider here. Four ways in which people will die at this time. Now, that number four is very significant. It is the four. It speaks of the and is the signature of the world. Four represents the globe. In other words, there are four seasons. There are, the Bible talks about four corners of the earth. The Bible talks about the four winds of the earth. Okay, so you got north, south, east, and west. There are four beasts which rise up out of the sea, which are four world empires in Daniel 7. There are four metals which picture the four Roman or four world empires in Daniel chapter 2. And the list goes on and on. So here's what I want you to see. The four means of death in this fourth seal speaks of global catastrophe. This isn't localized. This is global catastrophe. That's what the number four is there for. This is not localized, but it's going to be over the entire face of the earth. This is going to be a global problem. Because, listen, when this time comes, there is going to be the world will be under a global government. Just a little insight here. In the midst of this coronavirus and everything else that's going on, don't miss the fact that the battle in D.C. is not between Republican and Democrat. The battle in D.C. is between nationalists and globalists. Trump is a nationalist. His slogan is "Make America Great Again." The globalists hate that. They don't want any borders. They want none of that. They want a one world system. You've seen it in the midst of the coronavirus. You've seen the signs. We're all in this together. That's all global. There is a huge push for a global economy because that's what's going to be set up in the end times, that global economy. There is one obstacle today that stands in the way of a one world government and a one world economy, and that one obstacle that stands in the way is the United States of America. And so what we are seeing today are multiple attacks through many different means to try to destroy this nation, to destroy the Constitution of the United States of America. I think that in the midst of the coronavirus, Satan saw us at a weak point, and he knows what the Bible says, that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so that's why you're seeing the protests and the riots and the destruction of the cities, the tearing down of the monuments and the statues. It's just it's a division. There's no doubt, there's no denying that our nation is divided, and Satan knows that. And so from the inside out, it's imploding. It's imploding. But going back to this right here, you got four means of death: sword, hunger, death, and beasts. So that speaks of a global catastrophe. Because number four talk speaks of the globe. Let me get you back to the means of death now, if I could. The sword that John talks about here speaks of death by the increase of wars on the earth, as well as other means, the use of weapons on the earth. The hunger spoken of here will be an intensifying of that third seal judgment, the famine that follows on the heels of the war with the second seal. So the third seal is that famine. This is an intensifying of that. Number three, the death spoken of here refers to diseases. There will be an increased spread of disease at this time. Some of it may come from the dead bodies that lie on the ground whenever these people begin to die, whenever they are slaughtered or however it might be. But there will be an increase in diseases that the world will not be able to find cures for. You look at what we're going through right now with the coronavirus. Number four, they'll be killed by the beasts of the earth. This is exactly what it says. Those who survive the war and the hunger and the disease will be too weak to fight off animals that are looking for food. And so that's going to be factored in also. Ezekiel spoke of the judgment recorded here, I believe, in Ezekiel 5, 15 through 17. Listen to what he writes. He said, "So shall it be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and furious rebukes, I the Lord have spoken it. When I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread, so will I send upon you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it." That was Ezekiel 5, 15 through 17. Listen to Ezekiel 6, 11 and 12. "Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand and stamp with thy foot and say, Alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence. He that is near shall fall by the sword. He that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them." To some, these seem to be natural disturbances. But from what Ezekiel records, we can see that all of these are from God as a part of his wrath. These judgments are going to be inescapable. These seal judgments will be inescapable. The wars, the slaughters, the famines, the death. It's going to be inescapable. The diseases. Ezekiel 33:27 says this, "Say thou thus unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence." Did you hear that? There's no hiding places. The one that's in the open field, the beast will devour. Those that are in the forts and the caves, they will die by the diseases. There will be no place to escape this. No hiding from the judgments. Now let me read for you what Amos records concerning the inescapable judgment of the tribulation. Amos 5, 18, 19, and 20 say this, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand upon the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, and even very dark and no brightness in it?" The point is this. You flee from one thing, something else will get you. You flee from another thing, then something else will get you. When you think you're safe, there'll be something else. That's the point. That's what God's saying. There's no escaping this. Watch chapter 6 of Revelation again. Watch verse 8. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. He that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." The rider on this horse of the fourth seal, riders, are death and hell. Death is a reference to the grave. Hell is the holding place of the souls of the unsaved. It seems to be that those who die under this seal will be all unsaved people. Now, I say that because when the tribulation opens up, it'll only be unsaved people on the earth. But after the two witnesses come, people are going to believe and they're going to get saved, and the 144,000 witnesses. But here it seems to be, in this, whenever this seal's broken up here, which tells me it's early, it is all unsaved people. Watch the reversal now. when God created the world and man, he gave to man dominion over the beasts of the earth. It says in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then in Genesis 9, God put the fear of man in animals. When this seal is broken, and whenever this seal is opened, the roles will be reversed, and God will turn the animals upon mankind. He will turn the animals upon mankind. Deuteronomy 32:24 says this, they shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them and with the poison of serpents of the dust. Let me get you to a conclusion today, because I don't want to let you hanging right there. There's only one way of escape if this happens before you and I die. And that is the rapture. But that the way of escape is through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You need Jesus Christ. Without him, you have absolutely no hope whatsoever. You have none. None. Jesus is the way of escape. Jesus promises that there's going to be a rapture that is going to take place. We that know him as Savior, we will not be here to see these wars and these famines and all of this death. We won't see that because we're going to be raptured away. You need to confess your sins and repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And if you desire to get a copy of this message or any message that you hear on our radio program, all you need to do is write to us. Make sure you include the date. Whenever you write, write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.